Hey, you guys, and happy Monday. Welcome to the Nadia Show, of course, with your host, the most. That would be me, Miss Nadia. So, how are you guys doing today? I hope you guys are probably either off or you had to work like I did, or I'm just chilling. So, we got quite a few things to get to. I'm not going to do my segment usually of who am I. I'm only doing it for this month only, definitely. But I'll probably see if I can do it in future episodes as well. But we have so much to get to. So, of course, we're going to pretty much do the recap of Usher, okay? Knowing that his revenue and sales have gone up, and also he spoke to people about his past relationship and what really stagnated him from finding that person, okay? Also, we're dealing with the morning show blunder. Kelly Rowland doesn't even roll with it. She rolls out. We'll get to that part. And Beyonce going country? Or not country. And then also another thing I wanted to hit on is about songwriters. Are they getting the credit that they need, or is it the artists that get the credit? You be the judge. But yeah, anyway. And in between that, we'll talk about other things too. But yes, let's get started. So a week ago, we were all tuned into the Super Bowl. And we were all watching that halftime. And Usher gave us over 14 songs in a 15-minute time slot. So once that was done, let's just say his sales and streaming and revenue and all his albums went accordingly up. Caught Up was pretty much the most down, well, streamed song with over 2,000 hits. Can you believe that? His revenue went up over 550%. Okay. The Super Bowl 58 was the most watched. Okay. By over 1.29.8 billion people. Can you imagine that? That's wide, worldwide. That's everybody's TV streaming, tuned in, locked to making it the most watched ever. And for him, his performance is bumped up and not the top five. We're talking about under Michael, Prince. He might be third. Beyonce might be bumped down to number four. We never know. But yeah. Yeah. And he's riding high. Also, he got married pretty much right after. It was an intimate ceremony with him and his wife. Their kids. Just straight up. No frills. No chills. No nothing. It was just simple and to the point. Pretty much. Because, this is third the charm. Right, Usher? Third time's the charm, because he's been married previously. So we're hoping that this one is for the long haul, because after that, we all can't keep count. We all can't keep count no more. But he was on the Breakfast Club this morning discussing his, I wouldn't say wild antics, but his entertainment purposes, with along with him and Alicia Keys, you know. Back and forth, and you know, and also he pretty much slapped Nicki on the butt, but he said it was all about the island vibes and all that stuff. And yeah, again, it's entertainmental purposes. He don't mean no harm, and you know, I don't think they meant harm either. They didn't feel a way or anything like that. It's all in the game, but you never know. But entertainment is entertainment. You do it. You don't have to do it, but it's there for the purpose. Whatever. Okay. So he had an interview with People Magazine and told them that, you know, but we all remember his relationship with Chili from TLC back in 2001. And they pretty much broke up in 2004. 3-year relationship. He said that he proposed to her and she turned him down. Okay. He said also, he also implied that, you know, she was an older woman. He was a young man. You know, she had a lot of rules to her. Okay. And he did propose, I guess with her not accepting his proposal, that kind of made him a little, I would say probably jaded and guarded to the point where he really didn't want to be bothered at all with women per se. But, I mean, that's hard to just, I mean, it's not hard to tell, but at the same time and token, I mean, you know, Usher Chili was quite older than you. She had her standards, even though she was youthful in the face. You know, with older women, I wouldn't say they're stuck in their ways. They're just sold on what they want to do. And for someone that's coming in that's a little younger than them, who don't understand them, for you to try to segue, that could be frictional. Just like a younger person who's dating somebody older, when an older, mature person tries to tell you, the person that's younger, that's bright-eyed and fresh-faced, and, you know, has a, you know, I wouldn't say all over the place, but you're trying to do things and trying to learn and grow, and they're trying to tell you how to do something. You don't want to hear that. You either become standoffish, you rebel, or you pay no mind. Now, for a person that's on the mature level side, they pretty much ignore you and just do what they want to do. And they don't even, you're non-existent because they're the way they are. They matured, they experienced a lot, and they're not going to have nobody come in and try to screw up their thing. Especially if this is the way they've been doing it. Just like a younger person, you won't want nobody telling you a goddamn thing. You want to live life how you want to live it. Whatever consequences, whatever repercussions come, you'll handle it. But that's just something underneath your belt to say, you know what? It is what it is. And that's that. So, I don't think he meant any harm with talking about his relationship. But I think at the same time and token, you are married. It is what it is. She's not bothered. She's not on phase. She's in a relationship pretty much. And she was not bothered by it. She was on vacation. Okay. You're in a whole relationship. You're actually married. I mean, focusing on your past will not shape your future. You need to leave it where it's at. You're in your future. You're in your prime. You know, you riding high. Your career, 30 plus years. You just came off a rocking the biggest stadium in the world. I mean, come on. that should be less than your focus. You should be riding high on your beyond. I mean, you should be riding high on this. This right here, nothing else matters. You got your health, your strength, your family. You rocking. You got everything in your grasp, in the palm of your hand. A relationship that pretty much couldn't be. And like I said, it's always three sides to every story. It's her side, his side, and the truth. And we may never know the truth. We've heard her side a little bit, and we heard his side. Okay, so we really still don't know the truth, and we really wanted that relationship to work, but it really didn't. And all sides moved on amicably. So yeah, I just think it shouldn't have been brought up. Not good, Usher. Not good, bruh. That was something you used to talk about way beforehand. But you know, the relationship is 20 plus years old, and it's in the past, and we just need to leave it there. Okay, just saying, it's been so long ago, so need to leave that alone and just let it go. But yeah, with Usher, he is flying high. He also has he's gonna be on tour again. So I've also been hearing he's coming to the New York area. I'm gonna see if I can get my ticket, because I'm gonna see. Because if he's doing the roller skates and everything like he did up in Vegas, and he's bringing it to the show, I definitely want in. I definitely want in. Sign me up. I'll be one on the checklist. Just saying. So moving right along from Usher, we're gonna roll right on into Miss Kelly Rowland. Okay. Many of you guys are aware Kelly Rowland. We're Kelly Rowland, group member of Destiny's Child. Solo. Miss Kelly Rowland. Now we have going to bond. Now she has bumped into actress. Actress. Yes. Not television shows, but movies. So there was a movie that pretty much is on Netflix currently at the moment. It's called Mea Culpa. Something of that sort. And she's the star attraction. So I guess on the show, on the Today Show last week, she was hosting, she was filling in the last hour for Jenna Bush Hager. So she was filling in for her, and she was going to be on the last hour, you know, with Hoda. Okay. So come to find out, with her and her team coming in, to kind of set up shop to get her ready to host with Hoda. Jennifer Lopez happens to be in the bigger room. So the staff at the Today Show are scrambling around to getting her, you know, to a room so that they can all, so her team and her can start setting up for her to get ready for her coming in with Hoda. I don't know what transpired or whatever went down. Kelly Rowland's team was not, you know, not satisfied with what happened or transpired, and they left. Come to find out, the Today Show scrambled around for whoever could fill in, and they got Rita Ora. Okay. Rita Ora went on social media thanking the Today Show about, you know, working with Hoda and, you know, being in the being just happy to be there and whatever the case may be. Boom. Okay. So as of right now, when it comes to Kelly Rowland speaking on her behalf, it's been silent. But there's been certain people. Well, there's been entertainers, including Marlon Wayans, Lonnie Love, and others who have come to Kelly's, who have pretty much spoken up, who have spoken for Kelly, to saying that, you know what, she's not behaving like a diva. You know, she was coming to host a show, to host the last hour with Hoda. She should have received the bigger room. Jennifer Lopez should have received the smaller room if she was there, because Jennifer Lopez was actually supposed to be there for a segment. Her movie on Amazon, I guess, is out. She was supposed to be there just to host a segment, just to be there for a segment. We don't know how long a segment would be, maybe 5-10 minutes. We don't know. She was the one that received the bigger dressing room versus Kelly, who was hosting the show for an hour. Okay, with Hoda. I mean, again, was Kelly Rowland wrong for leaving? Or was the Today Show unprofessional with what they did? I mean, when you look at the situation sometime, it's understandable of we're not going to take it. We should be better than what we are put out there also, but is it a missed opportunity for her? Is she missing anything from not doing the rounds with the morning show? Because I would have went to GMA. Me personally. But I do think that the Today Show staff was very unprofessional. I do think they should, you know, give accountability to Kelly Rowland for them either not giving the proper protocol or proper procedure, or not checking and making sure that whoever they have booked for the day or segments or hosting priorities to people. I think that they should be a little bit more better in the arrangements, because when you have a person that leaves, that looks bad on y'all. That doesn't more so look bad on the person. I mean, it kind of gives a distinct, because y'all may have in this mindset that she's being bratty-ish or a diva or ungrateful or anything like that. But again, we don't really know the whole story, so we can't make any type of judgment. Now, Bethany Frankel, we all know Bethany Frankel, prior Real Housewife of New York. Of course, she said something on the lines of Kelly Rowland being a little bit bratty-ish, a little bit diva, and that's not the case, because you've acted like that yourself on certain things. And I think, again, we all cannot rush to judgment. We don't know what transpired, and we don't know what happened, so we can't say anything. Would it be the lesser of the two evils? We never know. Kelly Rowland has not made a statement at this time, and I don't think she's going to respond at all either, because of it, she doesn't feel, because again, she doesn't feel, she wouldn't feel like she's done anything or did nothing wrong. She didn't throw no chair. She didn't curse nobody out. You know, she didn't say anything. She just left. Sometimes the best response is none. Because why would you entertain something on what you did not do? You felt that you might have felt that you were wronged instead of going off the flying off the rails or say anything to detest or determine your brand. You took a step away. You walked away. You have to know at the end of the day, it's not even about your skin tone, about your and it may play into a part sometime. I'm not too sure, and I don't want to cross deep. But also you as a person, because like I said, we know Kelly as former Destiny's Child member. We know her as a singer. Now we know her as an actress. So now she's pretty much being multi-diversed. So now when you're settling into something, you want to be taken seriously. As you're filling into that point also, because you're being diverse. So you want to be taken seriously. But also, folks out here have to take you seriously also. And like I said, I can understand both ways on it. But do I say that she was unprofessional? No. Was today's show unprofessional? Absolutely. I felt as though that y'all dropped the ball on this one. Where's the acknowledgement? I'm not saying y'all have to apologize, but where's the acknowledgement? Y'all acting like, I mean, things do happen on live television. Yes, they do. But y'all have to be acceptable for what happened. You either overbooked or underbooked or did some blunder. Why would you think it's okay for a person to do a segment to get a bigger room versus a person that's hosting for a whole hour? Do you know what's going to be getting into that whole hour? They have to be prepped. They have to be shown where they're going to go. They have to be able to talk on that prompter. And they also have to match the chemistry of who they're hosting with. Not everybody can host with Hoda. And we don't know if Hoda's having a bad day or damn self, because she's looking for her co-partner, who happens to not be there. So again, it goes on both. And then we're not sure if Kelly had a prior engagement before or after. We don't know. She's coming to not only host, but also she's pretty much advertising her movie as well. They probably will be talking about that too. I'm not saying it was a missed opportunity for her. Not at all. It might have been, but we don't know that. But again, like I said, we can't rush to judgment. We have to figure out between what the Today Show is going to say and if Kelly decides to want to speak for herself or not. Does she have to? Does she have to speak for herself? No, not at all. Silence is golden. If she feels that she wants to speak on her behalf, she will definitely do so. But I think that's a day. Ooh, sorry. But I do think that Today Show does need to hold themselves accountable for that, because that was not professional at all. That was not the right thing to do. Y'all overbooked a person. And y'all, and I'm not saying you promised her, but she was supposed to fill in for. She was supposed to fill in for a second. She was supposed to fill in for someone, and that wasn't cool. And for y'all to dig up somebody else and act like nothing ain't happened, that's also unprofessional, and I think that's downright rude. So I think, to today's show, definitely have a little explaining to do. Definitely have explaining to do on that part. But hopefully I'll keep y'all posted if they do release a statement on that. But yeah. Okay. Moving along to her bandmate, Miss Beyonce. Okay. So Beyonce pretty much on the Super Bowl night with all the commercials informed her fans and everyone that she will be releasing Renaissance Act 2. Coming up at the end of next month. And she has two new songs called Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. Now, we all understand that Beyonce is and R&B artist. Her music has been influenced in pretty much her, all her songs have an R&B feel to them. Whether it's the precision, the timing, the click click, or anything of that, with a little bit of hip hop to it. So now, with the Texas Hold'em song released, this is now her getting into the country zone. Now, we all know that country music, well, let's just put it all in part. We know that all the goddamn genres of music have been folded by black folks. Let's talk about it. We know the only person, a black distinct, and not the only person, but he was decorative as that, was Charlie Pride. Charlie Pride, I think, died 2 years ago. Now, when it comes to other black artists who have filled that country status, okay, let's talk about it. Mickey Guyton. She's the first woman. Mickey Guyton. Come on. Mickey Guyton. Jimmy Allen. Kane Brown. Now, Lil Nas X got huge backlash for Old Town Road. Now, Billy Ray Cyrus was featured on that. And country stations did not play that. Hip-hop played it. Hip-hop stations played it. Top 40 radio played it. But y'all from the country stations didn't play it? Why? It had a country artist featured on that. And that's Billy Ray Cyrus, who pretty much his country song, if y'all remember back in 1992, Achy Breaky Heart, okay, was on country stations, but also went to top 40 radio. When I say in top 40 radio, we talking about top 40 radio hosted by Casey Kasem, okay? Probably a Dick Clark and a Ryan Seacrest, okay? So y'all do y'all backstory on that part. So back in the day in 1992 to be exact, yeah, we still had Dick Clark, and we still had Top 40 Radio Countdowns. Yeah, we did. And Casey Kasem. you did. So, how is it now? We're coming in 2024. And again, these artists I just named to you guys are not getting the respect that they, as country artists on country music. Because I don't hear Mickey Guyton on Top 40 Radio and hip hop and R&B stations. I don't hear Jimmy Allen on hip hop R&B station. Okay? And I don't hear Kane Brown on it either, even though he did have a duet with her. I don't hear that on hip hop R&B station either. And Charlie Pride was the only brother in country music, okay? And he died 2 years ago. But everything else, when you're hearing about country music, is by everybody else. That includes the Patsies, the Patti Loveless, the Rebus, the Dollies. I'm just saying. And even though country music was done by us, that's Charlie Pride. And like I said, you got Mickey Guyton, who's the first female. You got Kane Brown. You got Jimmy Allen. And I'm probably going to say even more. And more country artists that are kind of coming through the door. But again, with Beyonce releasing this, is it going up the country charts? Yes. It did debut at 54 last week. We don't know what it's going to date. We don't know what chart it's going to debut on the country charts this week. And it just got released last week. Okay. You know, people are saying that, you know, Beyonce is breaking barriers down because now she's crossing over into country. I dispute that. I think that country music was done by us the whole entire time. So if we're going to give her flowers for crossing over into country, let's give the props and the flowers to those who already had country, who been in country, who did not go to this genre, but been in this genre. And now that she I wouldn't even say she shed the light on it. It should have been shed a light on, like the people I just named. And that includes Charlie Pride. because he was the only one holding it down for country music for a very long time for the black folks. That's before the Mickeys and the Canes and the Jimmy Allens even came into play. So let's put some respect on some respect. And I understand what the person at the country music station is saying. Yes, she's not a country artist. She's an R&B artist. It's okay to go into other genres, but don't think you're the first person that's done it. No, 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 no. You're standing on the shoulders of other people who done it just as well. They may have not gotten their foot in the door like you, because maybe you hold all the cards in your deck. But let's not ever segue that. Because they're not considered R&B. And they may not want to go into R&B. They think that maybe country is the best way for them. But again, country music, R&B music, Afro beats, gospel, everything kind of fits into it. You really can't, you know, I mean, there's always a segue, because country people think that they own music and you can't cross here and you can't cross there. But when it comes to pop music and R&B music and gospel music, oh, you can cross the boundaries. And again, this leads me to my point of, when Whitney was putting out popular music, she was booed at the Soul Train Awards. Like, her songs don't feature R&B. It don't feature gospel. It don't feature those things. It do. It does. When she opens her mouth, she's not like, oh my God. No. When she opens her mouth, it's coming from the diaphragm, the underbelly of her. And it's coming out. It's not like she's forcing it. It's coming from a place of hurt. It's coming from a place of happiness. It's coming from a place of joy. So let me share this with you. Let me tell you, let me put how I feel in this song, and let me spread it to you. Let my voice soothe you. Let my voice heal you. Let my voice tell you something. All the riffs, all the high notes, all the in-betweens, the in, the outs. The monotone, how I can take it from high to low. Belt out that high note. Take it down to the low. And in between, where I'm giving you whispery or sweet or register whistle, I'm just, you know, let me take it there. It makes me mad when it comes to artists, that just because you're doing it, other people weren't doing it before you. And that's annoying to me, because I don't like the fact that the way the industry is so fickle with that. They thinking that she's doing it. She's breaking barriers. No, she's not breaking barriers. There's no barrier to break. She can walk right through it. It's been done already. It's just that artists in the country world don't want us to get involved, because we've been involved already. And they acting like that music belongs to them. No, it doesn't. It doesn't belong to anyone. We were in it way beforehand. Y'all just get to slap y'all name on it and thinking it's all y'all. And nobody else can come through that door except for y'all. Ain't wrong. We were there already. Hi, nice to meet you. Or hello, why are you here? So no. Music is music. And whoever it touches, it goes like that. But I don't think it's anybody's dealing to break down a barrier that's already been broke. When it comes to music, you stay within your area and you make a new height for yourself. Whether people come in after you or not, just celebrate the fact that you're here and they're here. And that's it. And not thinking with the crabs in the barrel mentality. It's not a who's who and knocking people off to just stagnate your place. Your place where? It's always going to be somebody bigger, faster, cuter, blah, blah, blah than you. What are you trying to convey? You're still going to be around? Probably not. Because folks are going to really see who you truly are. And it's all about your character and all about what you bring to the table. You don't always have to knock others down to make yourself feel grand. And again, should they play her music on a country station? Then cool for her. But I think that other artists, such as the Mickey Guytons, the Kane Browns, and the Jimmy Allens, should be celebrated too. Because they were there first. They were there. their names just don't get mentioned. But I'm going to mention it because that's what music is all about. I'm not going to sit here and not say that others haven't been there. That's a dirty ass lie. They've been there. She's just walking in through and giving her music as well. You should be able to make any type of music you choose to do so. And it should it be celebrated? Yes. If people going to like it, yes and no. They may not expect that from you. Maybe it'll grow on them. Maybe it won't grow. In the story, what can you do? What can they do? Maybe that's just not your wheelhouse. Certain things, different strokes for different folks. You know, but I don't think that she's breaking down barriers. I don't think that she's doing something that's not have not been done before. It's been done before. Has it been accepted? That's the thing. That's the problem. Has it been accepted? Have other artists that have been there and been through the trenches and put in the work, have they been respected? Hell no. And that's from the powers that be. And that's sad. But this is how the industry works. It's very fickle. Very fickle. Very damaging. And there's some backstabbery all over. And some jankalization or period stuff going on. And honey, this is the year where stuff is getting aired the fuck out. Excuse my French. But it's getting aired out. I mean, honey. Does a bullfrog ribbit? Shit is being aired the hell out. And we are sitting real high and mighty for it to listen. So open your ears and listen up. Because it's definitely getting exposed. And it's not even about damn time. It's time. And we're going to see how much quiet is going to go on. I don't think that people should ever not speak about what happens, because we all need to know. We should know, because it's been quiet for too damn long. It's been quiet. So let's go, let us all speak. Shit, let us all talk at once. God damn it, somebody's listening. I know I am. So anyway, moving right along from that. Okay. I'm gonna say a little bit because I'm not too sure, and I don't wanna do nothing whatever out doing my homework, my research, my assignment, and giving you the facts, the businesses, the figures, and everything else. So, all right. I couldn't say legendary, but she could be cast as that. Okay. Tiffany Red, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with her, but she is a very lucrative songwriter. Okay. She's written the biggest hits for Seven Streeter, Beyonce, Zendaya, and Tamar Braxton. So she pretty much went on social media. She went on social media today to pretty much say that when it comes to songwriting, she's pretty much missing her residuals. And we're talking about songs that were written 2013. Let's take that back. That's over 10 years. Can you believe writing a song, a big hit song for an artist 10 years ago, and you have not seen the residuals? Imagine you're writing songs for big artists in the industry. And I'm talking about not A, not B, not C, but you're writing stellar hits for them and not seeing a drop of money. You can't even afford to eat. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. You don't even know where you're going to live today. You can't even afford to pay your rent, pay anything. And what folks don't understand and don't know is, as a songwriter, the majority of the songwriting publishings go to you, not so much the artist. And if you are writing for it, it's usually a 50-25 type thing, or maybe even a percentage value put upon that. Because again, it goes to the songwriter, it goes to the engineer, it goes to the artist. record company, streaming service, and all types of stuff. So again, the songwriter who wrote that biggest hit is not really seeing a drop of money. And there's no lucrative when it comes to awards and plaques or how many times the song has sold. Especially if that songwriter is not getting the writing credits that they deserve. And that's pretty much what she was saying. A lot of comments were like, she shouldn't be talking. You, no one stuck a gun to your head. It's not about what she shouldn't be saying. She's an advocate. So she's been going to the publishings, to the streaming services, sounding the alarm on this. I'm not saying she has not done her homework. She has. She's the assignment. She's the status quo. But it's horrible when you have artists out here who are not paying the songwriters what they got to pay. And then you have a whole team of writers. And then you have that one distinct writer that's coming in writing for you. And they're not getting a crumb. And they're living in horrible quarters. And then you're supposed to be quiet. And then she even said about Beyonce and them, you know, having NDAs being signed. And I'm like, yeah, those NDAs are definitely critical. They're critical in the time, but then once the warranty is up on those, then everybody decides to talk. But again, this goes down and again. I say this all the time, countlessly. The industry is a lot. It's a lot. It makes you understand why you're not in there. It makes you understand why you don't want to go there. Because it's a lot. It's a lot of entities that come with being in the industry. It's too much power. Someone holds all the strings. It's like the puppet master. And then you have some who become the puppets. You have some who are managing the strings. Because it's like, once you cut the string, where's the puppet going to go if they've been strung up so long? What are they going to do? Are they going to falter? Are they going to run? Are they going to think? What are they going to do? Because you've been pulling the strings for so long. The master puppeteer, once the puppet is set free, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? What are they going to, you know? It's a lot. And sometimes you, and I'm not saying sometimes, it's, you have to use your conscience. You have to use your brain. You have to know what's best for you. And sometimes the things that may not be the best ain't for you. Without selling your soul, selling your values, selling your morals, selling anything. It should never be an alternative. You have to know how to do the right thing. And the right thing shouldn't have to come with the price. And you shouldn't have to be blackballed or misused or damaged or talked about or rumored for anything. Because again, she's not the only songwriter out here that pretty much is going through this. There's been a number of songwriters that we really don't hear from. And also, I remember Carrie Hilson, same situation. She was also, you know, I would say pretty much blackballed for quite some time. And she's written the biggest hits for, she was on the team with Timbaland. She's written for Britney Spears along with Danger. She was in a writing team and she scored big hits, even for herself. She's written hits for Timbaland. She's written hits for herself. She's written it for Britney Spears. And her list goes on and on and on. And she was blackballed. For creating not even creating a diss record, but a certain producer told her to do the diss record. And that kind of almost put her career like straight out the pasture, like off there almost. And it made her go into a deep kind of depressionable state. Because Carrie Hilson was the shit. She wrote for everybody. And then for her to put herself out there from behind the pen to writing, to putting herself out here now to singing. And she had good hits. Her records were pretty good. I loved her first album. Ugh, I'll play that over and over again. But yeah. But again, it's just that I wouldn't say things like this need to be silenced. It need to be talked about. Because we definitely need to hear what's going on in the industry. And it's not only in the musical aspect, but it's also in the writing aspect, in the movie aspect, the television aspect. It's a lot of layers. It's just the same shenanigans over and over and over and over until folks get tired of it. They get tired of being sick and tired, and they definitely now are speaking out. I don't think there's nothing wrong with speaking about it, because it's real. It's everyday life. Your livelihood is at stake. This is what you survive off of. This is what, you know, this is what keeps you going. You're writing songs for well-known artists. It's not like they're coming to you and saying, okay, well, this is what I want to write. No, this is you writing from either their experience or a song that speaks to you. You're writing this. You're writing this in your car. You're writing this in the studio. You're writing this at your house. You're writing it anywhere. You're thinking of the concept and you're getting with other people, or you're just writing it or just writing it by yourself. And I would never say writing songs is easy. It can be. It depends on if, you know, you live and breathe and smell and all that. But you have to write a song, a quality song that artists can sing. But you also, from your vantage point, is that something that's relatable. It could be anything. It could be an uplifting song, a breakup song, a sad song, a happy song. It could be anything that you, the songwriter, is definitely interested about. And it could be the state of affairs, the state of the world. It could be anything that touches you in that moment that you have to write, that it can correlate with the artist. So yeah, writing songwriters and publishing is very touchy. But it also, like I said, if the artist can deal with their publishings, it also has to be the songwriting too. Because even though the songwriters are pretty much a big lucrative deal, I think that people who are songwriters critically, and I don't think artists should also be put into the room if they did not help write the song. If you didn't help write it, I don't think your name should be slapped up on it. I think it needs to be more levels and more rules and more, you know, backstories to this. And I think, you know, for that, I think for Tiffany Red to, you know, speak out about it was definitely an eye opener. And she's absolutely right on what she says. It's unfortunate that this is what's been happening for many moons. But you to write for the biggest artist and not see a crumb is terrible. It's just terrible. It's beyond that. It's just sad. But I will definitely keep you guys posted about that, because I definitely want to learn some more insight. That's definitely intriguing to me, and I'm going to definitely do my homework because it's something to know. It's something to know. And when you know, you know. But yeah, let me see if I have anything more for you guys. But on the next episode, definitely I'm going to do the Who Am I. We're going to finish that up, because, you know, we got to keep a little current with ourselves. I like that segment, and I may bring it back on some future episodes. You never know. Definitely. But anything I left out on this episode, I will definitely bring you up to speed on the next one. We're definitely going to talk about the next episode about oh my god, things are getting a little bit more heated when it came to Monique and her son. The estrangement is no reconciliation. It got to the point, it didn't even get to the point where Shalom came on and he spoke his truth and spoke his peace, and he's very well articulated. Definitely seems down to earth. And Monique pretty much came back and gave her receipts, and let's just say it got definitely interesting. So I'm definitely going to bring that to the next episode, because I was supposed to say it this time around, but I got so caught up with everything else that I really wanted to say this point. But on the next episode, we're definitely going to talk about that per se. So I leave you guys to do. So again, thank you guys for tuning in to me. I appreciate that so much. And I hope you guys tune in for the next episode. And until then, stay safe. Later.